Good evening, folks, and welcome back on this Saturday, the 11th day of June, 2022. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and given that so much of the news this week literally sounds like a repeat of the big lie we've heard over and over again, even the WHO is coming out and saying, hey, did you know that COVID-1984 and the pandemic turns out to have come from bats? Well, maybe, but China won't share all of their data, so we don't know for sure. Give me a break. Well, there's a lot more like that, but I want to focus, at least up front, on other aspects of the big lie, like you can't keep it up forever. Case in point, I love this headline, a shocked Wall Street, said the Zero Hedge report Friday, reacts to the scary CPI print. It was hotter than expected, and all I can add is, gee, do you think? Why, who could have possibly seen this coming? Answer, anybody that's been paying attention. It was one for the ages, begins their story. Headline CPI prices surged by a full 1% month over month in May, and that's 12% annually, folks. That is, if it only stays at 1%, beating the consensus expectations of the Kool-Aid drinkers. Energy prices spiked 3.9% month over month as gasoline prices reached yet another set of record levels. Food prices increased a full 1.2% month over month. And all of this means a spectacular new 40-year high of inflation at 8.6% annually. Groceries are up 12%. Gas is up a full 49% year over year. And remember, folks, these numbers are, well, let's just say gross underestimates of actual inflation, as you're no doubt aware, because they come from the Bureau of Lying Statistics, and they still, even though they're having trouble keeping on denying it, don't want you to know how bad it really is and what's already baked in the cake. And that's why they've got to keep a lid on paper gold and silver prices, even though those crooked casinos are basically still coming apart at the seams. But how bad is the admitted level of inflation already? Well, even Bloomberg Economics is calculating that average U.S. households will spend about $5,200 more this year than they did a year ago after the Bolshevik Revolution just to maintain the same basket of consumption, which amounts to about $433 extra dollars gone via the Bidenflation each and every month. As Peter Schiff's website points out, so much for that COVID stimmy check. And your host will add only one comment here, folks. Don't count even remotely on being able to buy that same basket of goods for only 5,000 fiat bucks more next year. From there, as we try to look back at some of the other events of the week, I just plain have to admit it, and we start there, the word stupid doesn't even begin to cut it. Because sometimes, folks, you just run out of superlatives when it comes to words to describe how stupid most of the United States has now become. Idiotic, moronic, yeah, pick an adjective. They don't quite cut it. And at this point, America's Biden moment has lasted for over a year. What's the point of even having a 25th Amendment? But there's so much stupid out there today that the mind boggles, and it's almost difficult to even decide in what order to present these things. But hey, let's give it my best shot. I do have to start with a couple of things to set the stage, however, and more or less chronologically to boot. From the Daily Mail in the UK, North Korea has fired not one, not two, but eight short-range ballistic missiles just one day, says the headline, after the United States ended naval exercises. Ooh, I'm sure that scared them, watching all those people parade their gayness in the Philippine Sea, all of which was meant to upgrade defense amid fears of a nuclear test. U.S. and South Korea, it says, believe this may culminate in a test nuke explosion for the first time since 2017. And this, it says, after eight successive missiles were fired over a 35-minute period from areas in the Sunan region near the capital of Pyongyang. So, says the Associated Press, the U.S. and South Korean militaries launched eight of their own ballistic missiles into the sea on Monday in a show of force, matching the North Korean display. Yeah, you show me yours, I'll show you mine. Are you scared yet? And notice, by the way, folks, that Vladimir didn't have to do that. He just escalates the quiet warnings about a nuclear first strike if people keep doing stupid things. Oh, yeah, they will. But today, that turns out not to be where I was going. This is from Rex Morgan via AmericanMilitaryNews.com, and Zero Hedge picked it up as well. Guess who is the brand new head, officially, of the UN Disarmament Conference? On Monday, it says, North Korea assumed the chairmanship of the United Nations Conference on Disarmament, the forum for negotiating multilateral disarmament efforts across the globe. And it's being called the latest in a string of questionable moves taken by the, I'll say it, idiots at the UN in putting national officials in positions contradictory to their, well, history, temperament, character. Anybody else remember when they tried to put Saudi Arabia on the UN Human Rights Council? Oh, yeah.
Morons. I've got morons on my team.
An NGO called United Nations Watch and its executive director, Hillel Neuer, said the following. Given that North Korea has, quote, just taken over as chair of the Conference on Disarmament here at the UN in Geneva, he said, this is not a joke. When they preside at tomorrow's meeting, our coalition of 40 UN-accredited NGOs is calling on all democracies to walk out. Because, he added, having the North Korean regime of Kim Jong-un preside over global nuclear weapons disarmament would be like putting a serial rapist in charge of a woman's shelter. Or I guess you could say, folks, having Joe Biden chair a Mensa conference. The problem is, says the story, North Korea will now have presiding authority over multiple arms control discussions, including prevention of nuclear war and all related matters. I'm sure most Americans who don't get their news from CNN will sleep better tonight knowing that. But I can't help but think Joe Biden's puppeteers are laughing themselves silly all the way to their hidey hole bunkers. Oh, and maybe you even know now why they call them dumbs. Maybe it doesn't really stand for deep underground military bases. But wait, there's more. You want to know what the Biden regime's latest move to combat high fuel prices is? Oh, yeah. Let's put more ethanol in the gasoline and destroy your vehicles sooner because you won't have fuel to put in them anyway. And you'll get to pay for it three different ways, via tax subsidies, reduced fuel mileage, and let's not forget, more ethanol will send them to an even earlier grave, which is really the big goal anyway. The regime has now mandated the highest usage of ethanol fuel ever. And if you thought their success at destroying the country via inflation was good so far, just wait. Oh yeah, and you have to hand it to them on this front too. Since the United States is heading for a massive famine, why not make sure that they burn up more food, i.e. GMO'd corn that you really didn't want to eat anyway. So as they keep moving down the road to, well, hell on earth, you can look forward to not being able to feed your family or your car. Oh yeah, and let's not forget, since they're trying to force everybody into electric vehicles, why not destroy the power grid at the same time and make sure that that cupboard ends up being empty too? Think about it, folks, because they aren't gonna. If you can't run your air conditioner, only leftist politicians and Hollywood stars would really be dim enough to think you're gonna be able to charge your Tesla. Which brings me to a story, ever so appropriately, that literally plumbs the depths of stupid is as stupid does. And I have to preface this by saying sometimes you just really do have to go there. Because as it turns out, there's stupid, there's damn stupid, and then there's whoopee. Listen to this. And ponder, as you hear the applause for this kind of stupidity, that this is what some Americans somehow seem to think is reasoned debate. And not only that, they obviously think whoopee made a really fine point. Good grief. Now, you know that a knee-jerk leftist wants to ban everything, confiscate everything, but especially the booga, booga, booga AR-15. So that part is clear, but listen to where they go next. Almost like they're channeling Joe Biden's puppeteers.
Whoopee, the other side of it is that even if you remove the AR-15, then they can use handguns. Virginia Tech, the guy used handguns.
Yes, but you know what? Let me tell you. A handgun does not turn people to dust.
And again,
an AR-15 turns people to dust? This is even more stupid than Joe Biden saying a 9mm blows a lung clean out of your body. No wonder they've got negra gun phobia. A black gun turns people to vapor. No, Whoopi, it's not a phaser. Maybe she thinks because she played an alien on Star Trek, she knows all about interstellar weaponry.
A handgun does not turn people to dust.
And notice again, the idiot she's arguing with is, I agree with you. Yeah, it does turn people to dust. And the audience is so ignorant, they applaud that kind of idiocy. Maybe it's no wonder they think a magic sign is what they need to protect them from a death ray. And they keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. There's a word for that, too.
A 9mm bullet blows the lung out of the body.
But did you know that if you pass a law declaring the entire country to be gun-free, not only will murders and all kinds of other crimes disappear overnight, but people will live forever and pixie dust will cure cancer. Oh, and by the way, did you know that wearing a mask will protect you not only from COVID, but monkeypox? But if that doesn't protect you, the vaccine surely will. I gotta ask it, folks, why doesn't somebody just tell these people, probably on The View, that if you take your fourth booster shot, you'll become bulletproof? That'll fix it all. Like I said, folks, we literally are running out of superlatives when it comes to the stupendous levels of stupidity that are now being probed by dumbed-down and proud-of-it ignoramuses, whose ignorance and lack of ability to connect the dots seems to know no bounds.
To infinity and beyond!
All right, well, on the scales of a bunch of ignorant people deciding what's best for you and your children and how you shouldn't be allowed to defend yourselves from them and the totalitarians who tell them what they must believe because they're afraid of weapons that don't exist in this reality but will blow your lungs clear out of your body and vaporize what's left, so you'd better shut up and follow them to the gulag. Well, somehow or other, this seems apropos on the, this is what you get when you believe stupid stuff front. This comes from Gainesville Coins via Zero Hedge, and it tells us that a plan conceived by the Austrian Central Bank back in 2015 seems they didn't trust the London Metals Exchange and the London banks to safely store their gold, so they wanted to move 50 tons of their monetary reserve gold from London to Switzerland. Well, it's now 7 years later, and guess what? It hadn't happened. The background says that since 2007, 15 years now, the Austrian Central Bank owns a few kilograms short of 280 tons of gold, or well, they thought they owned it. But in a report released by the Austrian Court of Audits from February 2015, they stated Austria was holding too much of its metal, 82%, in London at the BOE, or Bank of England. And the Court of Audits concluded that all contracts between OENB and its external depositories, but especially the one in England, contained deficiencies. They couldn't be trusted, and auditing measures were, say it with me, lacking. So soon after that, contracts with external depositories were reviewed and amended. 90 tons of gold stored at BOE would be repatriated, 50 tons transferred from London to Switzerland, and within 5 years, by 2020, wait a minute, that's 2 years ago now, the new storage concept should have been completed. Well, it turns out there's a whole lot more to the story, but bottom line, it ain't there. And if you've been paying attention by now, maybe you realize, maybe it never really was. But if you believe in gun control, the tooth fairy, and paper gold, maybe you can just wish it right back into existence. But you know what, folks? When it comes to a week of really stupid stories, things that not only defy credulity, but insult your intelligence, we certainly don't want to miss this one. From the Daily Mail in the UK. Healthy young people are dying suddenly and unexpectedly from a mysterious syndrome as doctors now seek answers through a new national register. Yeah, it says people under age 40 are being urged to go and get their hearts checked because they may be at risk of sudden adult death syndrome, or SADS. You know what they don't say in here, folks, anywhere? Yeah, especially if they've been poked or double poked and taken a Zyklon B booster. And you know what? Not once in here do they even so much as hint at what the real problem behind the mystery just might be. Although, here's a shocker, and I checked, the word vaccine does not appear anywhere in this entire piece. Although, that's really sad, because you'd think it would be beyond stinking obvious. Especially to someone who claims to be a doctor, or a general practitioner, or a nurse, or even a health professional of the lowest kind. And here's the closest in this entire piece that the article actually gets to admitting the obvious and the truth. SADS, it says, is, quote, an umbrella term to describe unexpected deaths in young people. You need a really big umbrella if all of a sudden, for unexplained reasons, people are dropping like flies. Especially since they tried to start forcing young people to take that Zyklon B injection, and you don't really want them to know why. This, according to the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners, and it most commonly occurs in people under 40 years of age, but, they note, it seems to be fatal for all kinds of people, regardless of whether or not they maintain a fit and healthy lifestyle. Well, with one really obvious exception that they're not about to mention. Like, for example, do they allow themselves to be used as an experimental guinea pig for DNA modifications? And this is really helpful, and almost as stupid. There are signs to be on the lookout for, like that they have a family history, albeit recent, of a sad diagnosis or sudden unexplained death of a family member, especially if they took the poison poke not long ago, or fainting or seizure during exercise, or when excited or startled. And you gotta love this little bit of truth slipping in there. The term is used when a post-mortem cannot find an obvious cause of death. Well, or at least not a cause of death, even if it is obvious that you're gonna be allowed to talk about. Now, folks, here I pause, and while I will contend that the Bible makes plenty of predictions, and I'm more than happy to read them and look at them, and try to understand what's happening now and put it into the proper context, I don't generally, even remotely, try to make predictions myself. But sometimes it's so easy and so obvious because it's so historically repetitive that you can't help it. Obvious example, no fiat currency in history has ever survived, so the United States dollar almost certainly won't be the first. It's hardly a prediction when you can't help but see the road signs to the inevitable. So here goes. Two predictions on this story. First, since SADS is an umbrella term being used to cover up the massive numbers of deaths expected from the poison poke, there now needs to be a major attempt to cover up the fact that SADS kind of accelerated, as a matter of fact, went into warp drive about the same time that a lot of young people and others started being mandated or forced or cajoled or just plain duped into taking the poison poke and then following that up with another one and then who knows how many more after that. So if you're trying to use the umbrella to cover up the real cause, well, you'd better lie about when the real cause started happening, too. I expect, in other words, and yes, we'll predict, Carnac says, we're going to see more and more people that are ex post facto diagnosed as having, oh, yeah, that was SADS, and it happened, oh, yeah, it happened before the poison poke. There you go. That makes two. Or maybe three. And don't forget that so far as the mainstream media is concerned, just one person who died before taking the poison poke is enough to call you a conspiracy theorist for daring to suggest otherwise. So that's an easy prediction. As a matter of fact, I think we're seeing the seeds planted for it right here in this story. Prediction number two, yeah, this one's obvious as well. There's going to be a whole lot of SADS going on. I'm going to call this next piece a related story, although certainly not for reasons that the Daily Mail or New York Times is going to admit. But News Stud will talk about it. In less than 24 hours, says their headline, the CDC has pulled a recommendation about the monkeypox outbreak, and quite frankly, they have changed their recommendations about monkeypox twice in less than 24 hours, because, arguably, it was a political stunt to begin with. And here's the even bigger point, folks. It turns out to be politically embarrassing to the beyond politically correct, because, oops, it only seems to affect people who are of the really politically correct gender or sexual orientation. And you know you can talk about doing it, you can teach it to kids, but you can't talk about the consequences. Because as you may have heard, but probably not from the WAPO, NPR, or New York Times, overseas health officials have confirmed a small global outbreak of booga 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 pox, a money pox, as some are now calling it, that occurred at two large, yep, here's the word you're not allowed to say in the same sentence, pride events, one of which drew at least 80,000 people. The problem, and Reuters admits this, is that, quote, Madrid authorities have been working on tracing the cases, mainly from a single outbreak in a sauna, which the story notes is a politically correct term used in Spain to describe establishments popular with gay men looking for sex rather than just a bathhouse. And here's the real oops. According to multiple reports from news agencies and health officials, the kind that haven't yet been banned from all kinds of socialist media platforms, the monkeypox virus is mainly spread via skin-to-skin contact. Right there, you lose the mask mandate madness. And the exchanging of bodily fluids. So here's another really easy prediction, folks. That means either the next pandemic won't be monkeypox, or it'll be a new booga booga variant that doesn't have any politically incorrect shortcomings. Because you know the criterion, the real booga booga pox can only be stopped by masks, and then later, the vaccine. And just to bring home that point, Paul Goldberg's story notes that on June 6, 2022, the Centers for Death and Control changed their website around 1 p.m. to raise the monkeypox alert level to 2 and demanding people wear your masks to stop the spread. Oh, yeah, that'll do it. Oops, yep. By 3 p.m., though, on June 7th, the suggestion to wear masks was, deleted. And somehow, folks, I think if the CDC came right out and said, yep, wear rubber when you have gay sex, it just wouldn't have the same scary, threatening appeal on Main Street. Because for now at least, even some leftists may have a limit to what they're deadly afraid of. And so probably the original monkeypox at least will follow exit stage left from the world stage not too long thereafter. Meanwhile, we'll depart from this story with one final observation. There are so far 31 cases of monkeypox in the entire United States since the outbreak that started in May 2022. New York City has the most, and oh yeah, guess where number two is? The state of California with 6. And would you like to speculate on which city? And finally, this piece, while we're more or less on the subject, from the truth portion of the medical frontier, this comes from the burning platform via Children's Health Defense, about studies suggesting a link now being released between a rapidly progressing, incurable, and fatal prion disease known as CJD or Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease and, say it with me, folks, the COVID-19 Cyclone B poison poke, a.k.a. not vaccines. Researchers believe that the prion region from the original COVID-19 Wuhan variant spike protein was incorporated into mRNA vaccines and adenovirus vector vaccines, now given to hundreds of millions of unsuspecting humans, and that it can be the cause of a new type of rapidly progressing sporadic CJD, which the Mayo Clinic says is a degenerative brain disorder that leads to dementia and ultimately death. And although the Omicron variant doesn't have a prion region on its spike protein, current COVID-19 vaccines, says the story, still use the same genetic material, including the prion region of the parent Wuhan strain. And a French preprint of the paper published in May on CJD and COVID-19 vaccination identified a new form of sporadic CJD that occurred within just days of receiving a first or second dose of, you got it, the Pfizer or Moderna. So-called vaccines that your host continues to suggest are better described as Cyclone B injections. Researchers have said have analyzed 26 cases of CJD and found that the first symptoms appeared an average of 11.38 days after injection with you-know-what, and of the 26 cases, 20 had died by the time the study was published, 6 were still alive just a few months later. The 20 deaths, researchers wrote, occurred only 4.76 months after injection. Among them, 8 led to a sudden death within 2.5 months. All of which confirms the, quote, radically different nature of this new form of CJD, whereas the classic form typically requires several decades to run its course, in other words, to kill people, said the researchers. The researchers noted they've just begun to study the first cases of patients with Omicron, and that in all the cases they've seen so far, the prion region has disappeared. Interesting, isn't it, folks? It's almost like, for those with eyes to see, the Omicron variant is a gift that replaces any need for the vaccine with something that provides far better and, as it turns out, safer immunity to boot. For a whole bunch of reasons, including, but not limited to the fact, that it seems to be free of the prion issue as well. However, they said, the Wuhan variant's spike protein gene information, including the prion region, was integrated into the Pfizer and Moderna mRNA vaccines and the AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson adenovirus vector vaccines. Quote, we have demonstrated that the spikes of the Pfizer and Moderna mRNA injections also contain the same prion region, they wrote. The same is true of all the other SARS-CoV-2 vaccines, since all are made from the spike sequence of the SARS-CoV-2 from Wuhan, which we have demonstrated contains the prion region. The Defender story goes on to describe several specific cases and notes that the latest VAERS data points to 56 cases of rapid onset CJD that have been reported following COVID-1984 not vaccines since mid-December of 2021. And don't forget, historically, VAERS has been shown to report maybe 1% of actual vaccine adverse events. Let's wrap up this segment with a thought experiment. If you were absolutely incompetent and had forgotten almost everything except who you're supposed to blame, would this still offend your intelligence? I guess RT gets it, noting that the Biden Fuhrer declared an energy emergency on Monday, blaming Russia, 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 and saying that national security and quality of life are jeopardized by what he's been working so hard to accomplish. No, he's not about to admit that, much less admit how successful their destruction of the nation and its energy infrastructure has been. And we'll pick it up somewhere in that vicinity after the bottom of the hour break. America's counting.
to wonder, I can't think at all. And my lack of education hasn't hurt me none. I can read the writing.
Welcome back now to the second segment of the show for this evening. I am your host, Mark Call, and I want to start this one off with a sequence of news items to tell the story about what is rigged and what's not, what's true and what's not, and most importantly, who's going to be allowed to talk about it and who's not in post-constitutional America. And many of those who aren't going to be allowed to talk will also find that they are going to be allowed to go to the gulag. Before the echoes had even died down from the slam dunk of a jury of Hitler's peers who did exactly what they were supposed to do and pardoned Michael Sussman, returned a not guilty verdict. Remember, folks, some animals are more equal than others. For lying to the FBI and doing some of the dirty work for people committing treason against the American people, although he wasn't charged with that. The same bunch of criminals went out and said, oh, but when it comes to conservatives and those that are on the right side of the Constitution and the rule of law, well, we can still hammer them good. They made a high-profile takedown arrest of Peter Navarro, just like they did with Roger Stone. I guess the only thing that wasn't present was the tip-off to CNN so they could be sure and get there and get it all on video. And now Big Brother's minions have taken the next step. The headline from Joe Hoft in the Gateway Pundit says, pure evil. The DOJ hacks, working for the evil Merrick Garland, want to slap a gag order on Peter Navarro so that the waystream media can ruin him without any opposition, just like they did with Roger Stone. The story goes like this, in case you missed it. Peter Navarro was arrested at a District of Criminal airport, put in handcuffs, for refusing to go in front of the January 6th Kangaroo Committee. It's unconstitutional, led by obvious Trump haters like the evil Liz Cheney, doesn't even have the makeup of participants given to the committee when it was, slam dunk implemented. And now it seems the crooks in the DOJ, FBI, and January 6th committee, but maybe I repeat myself, want to prevent Dr. Navarro from speaking out about what's being done to him and the slam dunk of a trial coming up. Which, at least up until you're declared conservative by the left-stream media, was his God-given right, once constitutionally protected, and yet, suggests Hoff, this ultra-corrupt committee is taking away that, too. As prosecutors, said the Daily Mail, are slapping a gag order on Trump advisor Peter Navarro in order to prevent him from doing what they're doing, creating a carnival atmosphere. And how's this for a thigh slapper? This is the same week that their carnival atmosphere is going prime time with the January 6th BS on national TV, scripted and choreographed to make P.T. Barnum proud. These people not only have no integrity and no sense of shame, they don't even have a sense of proportion. And all of this is really to prevent a sharing of evidence from a grand jury as he fights charges of contempt of Congress. And I gotta say this, folks, if you're not in contempt of Congress, you're simply not paying attention. He appeared in court on Friday after being arrested. Immediately afterwards, he addressed reporters outside the courthouse and condemned the manner of his, takedown-style arrest. And two Fox News appearances followed that, in which he claimed he was treated like an Al-Qaeda terrorist. If he'd been treated like a Taliban terrorist, they'd have given him some Stinger missiles and a Huey and sent him on his way. Anyway, on Wednesday, federal prosecutors said they want to provide Navarro, who's having trouble, he says, finding a legal team, for obvious reasons. I can't help but think that most of the D.C. attorneys who aren't on the take are more than cowed or being threatened outright for not being. Anybody remember the phrase, you'll never work in this town again? Well, it probably plays double there. On Wednesday, federal prosecutors, claimed they wanted to provide Navarro with the grand jury evidence, such as it is, so that he could prepare a defense. But they said his conduct suggested, ooh, we can't do that. There should be protections to ensure he doesn't use the material the way they intend to for a media campaign right there in that carnival atmosphere. Don't worry, the corrupt media probably isn't about to give him a fair shot. Anyway, in return, he accused them of trying to exploit the fact that he doesn't have legal representation yet and said, quote, the defendant's extrajudicial statements, however, demonstrate a substantial risk that, without a protective order, the defendant will use non-public discovery for improper purposes. No, that's our job. Instead of to prepare the defense he plans to present before this sham of a court. And they didn't say that, but I'll still say, unquote. Wrote the prosecutors. Let me translate that into English. He doesn't release it to the public, so they realize what a scam is being pulled here. which was pretty much what happened to Roger Stone when he was arrested in the Russia, Russia, Russia collusion kangaroo court. And we know that was all a great big stinking lie from the get-go. But remember how long it took for that bit of truth to come out. But in spite of the fact that Stone did nothing wrong, and the corrupt District of Criminals judge, Obama appointee Amy Berman Jackson, took away his right to say anything about the many corrupt acts taken against him, and now we know that the election in 2020 was stolen to boot, we know that Russia, Russia, Russia was a big stinking lie, but hey, at least they set up for the world war still to come. This, as Joe Hofton's conclusion, is not the America we grew up in. These are criminals in charge who act like communist leaders, and they, along with their plans for the American public, have only just begun. After a wannabe assassin, fully armed and ready to break into the home of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, was arrested not too far outside his private residence, many people have begun pointing out that nasty nutcase Nancy Pelosi is holding up a bill that would protect the families of the judges in the Supreme Court. But hey, as long as House communists have their protection, who cares? On The Five of Fox News, Dana Perino bluntly stated that if Pelosi and Biden's puppet masters don't take steps to address this immediately, they're complicit in the threats and whatever else they intend to have happen thereafter, which pretty much makes sense. And I'll say it again, obviously, some people are more equal than others. If you are a leftist and part of the communist regime, you can get away with breaking the law, turning the law upside down, and committing outright murder. But on the other hand, not so much if you're a conservative who believes the rule of law actually ought to apply to everybody. They're going to prove you different, even if it kills you. Perino pointed out that it is technically, I guess it's technical only if you're a leftist, illegal to protest at the home of a justice. So if I was the attorney general instead of that criminal, quote, I'd say arrest them all. And if they don't take a stand tonight, they're complicit, she added. The Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, has been slow-walking this bill that passed the Senate unanimously to protect Supreme Court justices. It's called the Supreme Court Police Parity Act, and it's a bipartisan effort guided to unanimous passage in the Senate by John Cornyn of Texas and Chris Coons of Delaware, but still yet to be taken up by the House communists, Democrats. Why is she doing that, Perino asked, of Pelosi's inaction in the months since the bill passed the upper chamber. Fast track it tonight, and if you don't, you're complicit, unquote. Well, folks, I'm thinking here's the reason why. It's pretty clear. While House Democrats did, again, block that bill to provide more security for Supreme Court justices and their families Wednesday evening, for the obvious reason, they do want them dead, along, I guess, with more kids that they want sacrificed on the altar of Molech. And if you think about it, they are clearly sending a message. Not only are we going to not protect you, we're going to make sure the people who want to come and kill you know it. And utter hypocrites that they are, what are they doing instead? The Communist House on Wednesday passed another anti-Second Amendment sweeping gun bill that would do a bunch of things with the idiotic, and how's this for slapping you in the face, name the Protecting Our Kids Act. Well, arguably not really protecting any kids any of the time, and still keeping so many of them as sitting ducks in gun-free killing zones. And oh yeah, we're going to define you as kids, at least when it comes to some things, for several more years too. You can certainly cut off your genitalia if you want to, and commit infanticide in most states. And we're happy to teach you about abominations like sodomy and bestiality before you even know what puberty is. But no, you can't learn what most kids who grew up in the United States when it was still free learn before they reach the age of puberty too, and that's how to properly and safely operate a firearm. Because we want you to know, we're going to treat you like kids as long as you live. Which, as it turns out, may not be all that long anyway, because we do want to poison poke you before you learn to walk. We may even draft you so that you think you're protecting your country, but we probably won't even let you have a gun to do that. The disgustingly, deceptively, idiotically misnamed act would, among a number of infringements, raise the minimum age to purchase what they laughably call an assault rifle from 18 to 21, ban the sale of what they also laughably call large-capacity magazines. They're actually called standard capacity, folks, by most manufacturers and users, and put in place some new rules to make sure that if the SWAT teams break down your door, it'll take you a while to reassemble your completely locked-up projectile-based home defense weapon. And perhaps the really most significant infringement of all is the so-called Untraceable Firearms Act, which basically says even if you make it yourself, you slave you, you can't keep it because you slaves don't have rights. And if we don't put a serial number on a Well, firearm, how's that for a term of art? You can't own it. You can't even keep it. And this is a huge step even beyond the claims that they've made up until now about licensing and interstate commerce and manufacturing and all kinds of ways of getting around shall not be infringed. It's a major, major, albeit unconstitutional, but clever legal twisting into warp drive. And by the way, this gives us the foot in the door to ban literally everything immediately hereafter. So let's make sure we know where we're at. What we've seen in this sequence so far is certain people deserve to be SWAT teamed and arrested and then silenced so that we can slam dunk them Stalin style right into the gulag without the public even being aware of what's going on. If you're a Supreme Court justice, well, it might just be open season on you if you speak up about, well, murder of kids or anything else we don't want you to talk about. And I think that probably includes what we plan on doing to the Second Amendment and the rest of you peons out there once we're able to get rid of your guns and your ability to protect yourself, much less talk about it. So it kind of boils down to this. Whether you think it's the Second Amendment, which protects the First, or the First Amendment, which allows you to talk about what's being done to the Second Amendment so that they can get rid of all of the rest of them, the bottom line at this point is certainly pretty clear. They intend to destroy both the First and Second Amendments, every single part of them. The Fourth Amendment's a dead letter already. Ninth and Tenth, don't even worry about. And then, nothing else matters much at all. So with that in mind, I want to ponder a couple of recent events. Remember the Department of Achtung Homeland Security and the Ministry of Truth, a.k.a. Biden and his communist puppet masters, now at least temporarily defunct Disinformation Governance Board? And the evil, scary Poppins, nutcase Nina Jankowicz. People heard about it. They rose up, well, you could almost say in arms. Some of them, at least, still have the threat at hand. And Big Brother had to back down, at least, again, temporarily. But it ain't over. And a letter sent, says Michael Robeson for the Gateway Pundit, to the Department of Achtung Homeland Security by Senators Charles Grassley and Josh Hawley, details of the alleged planned censorship by that now defunct Disinformation Governance Board have been exposed. The letter, dated June 7th, addressed to the satanically evil Alejandro N. Mayorkas, the guy who's supervising the border invasion, as well as the DHS, which obviously has nothing to do with security. The senators asked for a closer explanation of the department's plans to execute the directives und mission of the DGB, and in the process exposed documents and information provided by whistleblowers tied to the very existence of that anti-constitutional board. And the senators called out Mayorkas and his super Gestapo, saying, documents show that contrary to your May 4, 2022 testimony, in other words, you lied to us, you perjurer, you, before the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs, the DGB was established to serve as much more than a simple working group to, quote, develop guidelines, standards, and guardrails for, how's this for a whopper? Protecting civil rights and civil liberties. The letter goes on to explain that documents reveal the DGB was designed to, quote, serve as the departmental forum for governance of DHS policies, plans, procedures, standards, and activities pertaining to what the government refers to as mis, dis, and mal information, a.k.a. MDM. Orwell just called them thought crimes. The senators go on to point out the failed attempt to install the idiotic Nina Jankowicz, whom they called, correctly, quote, a known trafficker of foreign disinformation and liberal conspiracy theories, unquote. They outlined her choice to support and share information about the now-debunked Steele dossier, which she called, how's this for idiotic, some great historical context about the evolution of disinfo and, you know what? Actually, if you think about it, this does demonstrate the evolution of disinformation, and they are the ones doing the evolving. They also pointed out her refusal to acknowledge the Hunter Biden laptop from hell as the truth that it's now proven to be. And most disturbing in the letter is the revelation that the DGB had already made plans to meet with socialist media giant Twitter to discuss the planned censorship to come and the controlled speech of opposing points of view, saying that the department, quote, has been working on plans to operationalize its relationships with private social ist media companies to implement its public policy goals. Oh, and a quick aside here, folks. Isn't it funny that this very week, a number of revelations have come out about Twitter and bots, or fake users, as you might instead call them. Turns out that whole bunches of Twitter's alleged fan base are probably fakes. That speaks volumes, and it also suggests that maybe Elon wants to reconsider how much he's offering to buy a pig in a Twitter poke. The Attorney General of Texas, and hopefully others, wants to investigate, but all of this points in the same direction. It's not only about manipulating speech, it's about manipulating your perception of speech, and if you don't like it, making sure you're not allowed to talk about any of it. And once you're completely disarmed, of course, it won't matter what you think or say. The senator's letter goes on to state that the relationship between such non-governmental partners, how's that for fascism writ large, would empower them, not the people, to mitigate what they deem to be misinformation. And if they deem it correctly, they'll be allowed to stay in business. Grassley and Hawley express their concern that DHS would be, quote, enlisting the help of social, they never spell this right, IST media companies and big tech to oversee the censorship of viewpoints they declare to be misinformation. And they wrote, the First Amendment, you know, that thing in the Bill of Rights, was designed precisely so that the government could not censor opposing viewpoints, unquote, whether or not those viewpoints were deemed false. And they concluded by asking DHS to provide, quote, all written and electronic communications, memoranda, and organizational documents related to the DGB from the point that DHS first considered that anti-constitutional bunch of you-know-what until the present. The objective of the request is to provide, how's this for a laugher, would be a pleasant change, don't hold your breath to see it, transparency for the American people. And they even asked Mayorkas, the fascist head of this TLA, to define what they mean when they use the term operationalizing public-private partnerships, unquote. All right, so you're probably thinking, is there even any remotely good news, or at least news that isn't insulting to our intelligence? How about this one? From the most unlikely of places, which makes it even more eye-opening and downright encouraging. On Tuesday, voters in, of all places, the far-left gay capital of the left coast, San Francisco, gave one of the most openly evil so-called chief prosecutors, the uber-progressive Soros puppet DA Chissa Boudin, the boot. Having discovered, as Andrea Winberg notes and Tyler Durden and Zero Edge report too, that the reality of hard-left anti-human governance is much less appealing than the bogus theory and the empty promises. Continues the story, the former public defender backed by left-wing billionaire George Soros has come under fire for failed progressive criminal justice reform policies that have led to a sharp increase, and that's putting it mildly, in things like drug overdose deaths, homelessness, and massive thefts, including smash-and-grab robberies, car burglaries, shoplifting, and other property crimes, which, of course, is precisely what communists are so adept at. Homicide rates and even gun crimes in that gun control paradise have increased since Boudin took office, while at the same time he has sought to end cash bail, reduce incarceration rates, and scrutinize police misconduct, which almost certainly means something different in this city and context than you might think. He is, of course, now famous for not wanting to prosecute so-called minor offenses, and your host suggests the needles and feces lining the streets show the success of those policies. He once worked as a translator for Venezuelan socialist dictator Hugo Chavez. Now I guess you could say he works as a translator for Soros and California dictator Gruesome Newsom. He hails from a long line of outright Marxists and, yes, criminal and convicted radical parents, both of whom spent decades in prison for crimes committed with the Weather Underground, whereupon he was adopted and raised by, get this, and no we're not kidding, Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn. He fired 7 prosecutors his second day on the job. And since then, at least 50 prosecutor support and victim services staff had either been fired or quit their jobs over his idiotic, far-left, so-called progressive agenda. One former prosecutor, who produced a list of those either fired or that had quit, said at the time, quote, the office is imploding, but he requested anonymity for, fear of reprisal. The story then goes on to say what happened was a massive recall effort, including not only the usual people who don't like the far-left anti-constitutional policies, but a number of prominent Democrats, including Nima Rahimi, attorney and executive board member of the California Democratic Party, with the result that the San Francisco Board of Elections certified a petition back in November to recall Boudin after a group called San Franciscans for Public Safety, including a bunch of high-profile Democrats, launched the petition effort, gathering 83,000 signatures, far surpassing the 51,325 needed to force a recall election, which finally took place this week. And in response to the yes or no question, and I'm going to paraphrase it just a bit, should this scumbag be removed from office, 61.3% of San Francisco voters said yes. You know, that almost certainly means a lot of those were real living people. Those putting the recall petition up claimed that Boudin failed to keep his promises to deliver criminal justice reform and police accountability, saying, quote, Boudin is not keeping San Francisco safe. He refuses to adequately prosecute criminals, and that's an understatement, and fails to take the drug dealing crisis seriously. He doesn't hold serial offenders accountable, getting them released from custody, and his response to victims is that, quote, hopefully, home burglaries will go down. For his part, Boudin dismissed the recall effort as, say it with me, folks, a right-wing conspiracy, or at least a right-wing campaign, based on, quote, false and disproven Republican talking points, attempting to undo progress, und take us backwards. To which a landslide of voters obviously said, yeah, if you think this is progress, then backwards we need to go. And you, Communist Boudin, need to be gone. So, folks, good news and good riddance. Sadly, though, and let's not forget this, that one guy is not even the tip of a huge iceberg. And we'll close with a couple of more bits of good news. This first one from Children's Health Defense that says, in a lawsuit filed on June 2nd, a number of doctors have sued the FDA, alleging that the Federal Death Agency's crusade against ivermectin was, quote, unlawful interference with their ability to treat patients because they acted outside their authority by trying to direct that ivermectin not be used to treat patients, even though the drug is fully approved by the FDA for human use, and as it turns out, a hell of a lot more effective than killing people with an experimental mRNA gene therapy. And the lawsuit, they note, isn't about whether or not ivermectin is effective. It's about whether the patient and doctor have anything to say about it. And finally, we have this bit of good news from Steve Kirsch, who's done a survey suggesting the public is finally waking up to the fact that we were lied to, big time, and that there's no way to spin it. Most people, he believes, have now come to realize that COVID vaccines, or not vaccines, have now killed more people in just 1.5 years than all 70-plus other vaccines combined over the past 3-plus decades. And the more unvaccinated you are, the more likely you are to figure that out. And there may be several reasons for that, your host can't help but think, but the bottom line is good, folks. It means that more and more people are finally starting to wake up to the truth, even if it cost a number of those their lives to understand just how big the whoppers were. Finally, I saved the best for last because there really are a couple items of genuinely good news today. Here's one from the Daily Mail about the incredible moment when an 18-month-old infant who had literally fallen down a 500-foot-deep well, a bore well, was rescued by the Indian Army. After being in the hole for 45 minutes, they put a hook on a long rope, managed to drop it down the well, catch the baby's T-shirt, and carefully bring him up. He was obviously shaken, but survived, was taken to a hospital, and reunited with family members. And from Chicago, literally another story of selfless heroism, where a commuter noticed that a man had fallen on the tracks and across the infamous third rail. His body was convulsing. He probably only had seconds to live. And 20-year-old Anthony Perry, who was honored at a ceremony this week for his heroism, jumped down onto the tracks, carefully stepped over the third rail, literally grabbed the man's arm, suffering shocks in the process, and then jerked him off of the third rail and began CPR. He was aided in that by another witness whom he described as an angel from God. Quote, she was talking me through what to do. I ended up doing chest compressions and turning him on his side until the fire department got there. It really is wonderful, folks, to know that there still are people in this world who understand the value of human life and are willing to risk their own to help save and preserve it. And that's exactly the kind of attitude we're all going to need to get us through what's coming.